This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started.
All right, welcome to The Guilt Game. My name is Dori Howell, and you are listening to the Focal Points podcast brought to you by Enphoto. And guilt is not something that we want to talk about very much, right? It's not something that we think about, we want to think about, but the fact of the matter is the emotions of guilt and shame really do impact our business in many, many ways. Sometimes they can be recognized and sometimes they can't. So I thought I would do a little bit of learning about this and then share my findings with you in a very high level way. I mean, we only have about 20 minutes to talk about these on the podcast and I can't dive in as deep as I want. But I found this very, very interesting, and I think most people will too. Our emotions play a huge, huge role in our business, and we can't avoid it. We are a creative business. We are photographers. We are capturing people's emotions and love and memories. And because of that, we're dealing on a very emotional level with our clients, and we are emotional ourselves when it comes to our business. I know very few clients. I can maybe count on fingers that have approached their session with no emotion whatsoever, and they've been completely detached. And those all have been professional headshot clients when they have come in and had to choose images when they're not paying for it and they're only doing it because they have to. And yes, they want to look good, but they really don't care that much about the transaction, the experience, or anything else like that. But all my family clients, my newborn clients, and everything else that I've had in my 15 years of doing business, they've all had very emotional elements of the session, even if they were a little bit cold to the process. Can we talk about family session dads, right? They don't care as much, but they don't want to look ugly up on the walls of their house either. So there is a fine line of what they will do for a session and the emotions that come into play here. But I was listening to the book. This is kind of what got me on this and wanted me to dive in a little bit deeper. I was listening to the book that's called Like She Owns the Place by Kara Alwell Leyva. I think that's how she pronounces her name. And it was very, very interesting. And I listen to these audiobooks while I'm walking. And we'll link to the book in the show notes. If you go to focalpointspodcast.com, you can get the link to this. And you can download a copy if you want. But I was really interested in her take about how guilt impacts our business. And a lot of times, people use the terms guilt and shame together. Right? Guilt and shame. Like, oh, I felt guilt and shame. And we Americans, you know, as time goes on, our language changes, our vocabulary changes, and the meanings of words that we use might have a different meaning from what they started out originally to how we use them today, right? And we kind of blend things together. We pull things apart depending on the culture and what's happening socially. These words can blend together. Guilt and shame to most people kind of mean the same thing. I bet I could ask probably 10 people on the street and say, hey, do you know the difference between guilt and shame? And I would guess that most people would not know the difference of guilt and shame. And they would mostly say that it's the negative emotions that happen once you do something, right? Now, that is true for one of those words. Guilt is a feeling of worry or unhappiness because you have done something wrong or uncomfortable. Guilt comes from an action, and that action results in the added emotions of worry or unhappiness that often are joined with feelings of, like, you know, the emptiness, the pit in our stomach. That's a definition from Webster's, by the way. I didn't take that from anywhere, but directly from the source, right? So guilt is based on an action, a negative emotion that is a result of action. But shame is different. And I believe that most people, when they say they feel guilty, actually are feeling shame. Shame comes from the feeling of humiliation or from the perception of doing something wrong. So in a lot of cases, shame is an internal feeling that comes from the idea of doing something wrong, but not actually doing something wrong, right? So let's take this example. And I had to come up with something really easy and, you know, I don't like to bring food into the mix just because of my journey with health, but this is a really easy way that I can think of it. If you think of Thin Mints as being a dangerous or a bad food, right, because they're not great for you, you might feel guilty if you take the action and you eat a whole sleeve of Thin Mint cookies, which is actually, you know, I'll just be honest with you, that should be a serving size. A whole sleeve is a serving size of Thin Mint cookies. And don't try and fight me on that. And not the new sleeve where they've cut three cookies out of it, the old sleeve of Thin Mint cookies, right? But you feel guilty when you eat a whole sleeve of Thin Mint cookies. And we feel guilty because we know it's not good for us. It may make our stomach hurt a little bit. It may put off your food goals or your health goals or anything like that. But you feel guilty because you've done something. Then what happens is you feel shame when you think about eating a whole sleeve of Thin Mint cookies. You haven't even done it yet, but you already have a negative emotion attached to it because you know that it won't be good for you. Because, you know, if you're going to feel shame, you're thinking to yourself, who in their right mind actually would eat a whole sleeve of Thin Mint cookies? Sidebar, lots of people, but that's beside the point, right? And using examples of cookies is always a really good idea. But guilt defines the action. Shame defines the thought of the action. So hopefully you guys have got that pretty solid now. I still struggle with it, I tell you. And as I talked about earlier, as time has modified these two words, you'll find similar definitions and they've kind of molded them into the same category, but they actually started out with two very definitions. So now that we know that the definitions, let's get to it. Why are these such powerful things in our business and how can they have such a huge impact on our success? Well, if you've ever taken a day off from your business, even an afternoon or an hour off from your business to go to lunch with a friend, do a little retail therapy at your favorite store, visit your kid's school for lunch, joined your spouse or partner for a happy hour, maybe at a new restaurant during quote unquote working hours. And the whole time you're there doing something different, all you're thinking about is the gallery you need to edit, the emails you need to send, the phone calls you need to return, the bookkeeping that you need to done, the supplies you need to buy, all those different things, the social media you need to address. If the time away from your business while you're doing something else, you're feeling guilty or shame the whole time you're away from your business and it haunts you, that's a problem because you need to be able to disconnect yourself from those feelings and realize it's okay if you want to go lunch with your friends. It's okay if you want to go do a little retail therapy. You've earned it. It's okay if you want to go have lunch with your kid at school without feeling like you must be tied to your phone. In the book, Like She Owns a Place that I mentioned earlier, Kara, the author, talks about a day that she was going to take off the afternoon. She's going to watch TV, as she mentioned, the housewives, order her favorite lunch, and just take a break from her normal everyday tasks. And she thought, I deserve this. Like, and you don't even, as your own boss, you don't even need to justify it. Everybody deserves a day off every once in a while. It just so happened, she was saying, that on that same day, her husband decided to also take the day off. But instead of hanging out with the couch or going out with friends or, you know, doing whatever he wanted to do, he decided to take on a home improvement project that he had been putting off. So Kara talks about how she feels guilty the entire day because she was doing nothing while he was being productive. So actually, she wasn't feeling guilty. Let's get to it. She was feeling shame. In the book, she says guilty, but we're going to go back to our original definitions. Shame comes with the perception of doing something wrong. She was sitting on the couch doing her thing. He was working, and she felt shame the entire day because she felt like she should be productive. And she simply couldn't relax because she just felt that pull of having to do something. But the thing is there was nothing wrong with her sitting on the couch for that day. She, and you know, she has a successful business. She earned that day off. But when it came time to actually taking that day off, it was so much harder than she could imagine. And you know what? I can totally relate to this analogy. It used to be that I worked all the time. When I owned my education business, I don't think people truly realize how much time went into that business venture. It was sun up to sundown till 3 o'clock in the morning all the time. It was ridiculous. And I literally had gotten myself to a point where I could not take that time and relax, take a nap maybe, go have lunch with my kid, go get my hair done or anything like that because I felt so much shame even before I could even get to it. You know, I think so many of us can relate to that feeling that because we quote unquote should be doing something else, we're going to have those negative emotions that come with it. So how do these emotions impact the decisions that you make in your business and hold you back? I'm so glad you asked. Let's talk about it. But first, listen to this great offer from Enphoto.
If you are a photographer that wants your clients to have a lasting impression of the images that you take, you have to check out Enphoto's Grand Gallery photo book. It's designed to showcase your portfolio with a wow factor that will grab anyone's attention. It really isn't just a photo book, it's more of like an art exhibition. The Grand Gallery photo book isn't just a choice, it's your studio's signature offering, and it's meant to impress even your pickiest of clients. You want to check this out? Get a 75% off sample by heading over to focalpointspodcast.com. It really is one of the best discounts in the industry for sample products. I promise you will not be disappointed. All right, so imagine this. You have wanted to start your own business for a really long time. You want to be a photographer. You want to help people with their family memories. And you've finally gotten your business up to a point where you have regular inquiries coming in. You're busy the way that you want to be busy, maybe even a little too much. And you're editing sessions and you're getting paid and all these great things are happening. But you have a really kind of like what I call the come to Jesus moment where you're like, oh my gosh, I have a problem and I don't know how to fix it. And the problem is the fact that you made the mistake of pricing yourself too low and you realize now that you're going to have to raise your prices if you even want to stay in business, let alone give something to your family, save for vacation, save for retirement, save for a new car, for those big things. You can't even pay your business expenses. So what do you do? You're going to have to raise your prices. You're going to have to make some changes in your business so that you can be profitable. But then all these emotions start coming in and you're scared because you have a whole list of what ifs, the mites, the maybes. I kind of like calling them the mites. And they will kill you. So what if no one books you at that new price? What if people complain and say you're expensive? What if they write a bad review? What if they go to other photographers because they're cheaper than you? What if they don't think your work is worth a new price? What if people no longer can have professional images taken? What if they write you a review and the mites just go on and on and on and on and on, right? And those are all the things that I see from photographers who are scared to raise their prices because a lot of this is rooted in fear. You know, we have our main emotion here and then our sub emotions. And the thing is all these thoughts are coming from shame. You haven't even done anything yet, and you're already feeling bad about the process of doing it when nothing has even happened yet. You're just worried about what might happen, and you're feeling uncomfortable and icky about it, but that's just the shame because nothing has really even happened yet. But the mere idea of them happening is causing you to freeze, and you're not taking any action. Well, that's not good. And then we feel that shame because clients may not be able to afford you, all the things that I listed earlier. And if we look at this through the eyes of taking action, then we can start to have all these thoughts. So the thoughts that we have after you actually take the action, the guilt is that you raised your prices. So now the reason you're not getting bookings is because you raised your prices and people can't hire you. They can't afford you. They're going to complain. They won't refer you to others. So even though guilt and shame are different in this example of what I'm talking about today, they result in the same kinds of thoughts. And these thoughts can cause the same kinds of actions or in many cases inaction, because what happens with many people is that they feel the shame of the perception of what might happen. And then they don't do anything as a result, right? But what is the worst that's going to happen? Probably if you actually take the action and you raise those prices and your bookings slow down, that's actually a good thing because if you set it up properly, you would be making more money for less bookings, less editing, less time away from your family, and all of those things start to fall in line. But that kind of takes some trial and error when it comes to getting the balance of all of that right. So maybe you raise it at some point in time, you raise your prices way too high. I did that once. And 2 months later, I backed them back down a little bit, not all the way back, but I backed them back down a little bit. So you have to monitor all these things. And we know that when you raise prices, you should probably change your marketing and your messages and elevate everything, elevate your branding to justify these prices. And if you didn't listen to the episode with Jordan Duvall, when it comes to those types of things, that was last week, go back and listen to it because that's really great. But we'll also link that episode in the show notes. There are many examples that I could give you about having guilt and or shame in my business. Most of it comes from my earlier days when I was younger and I didn't know better. And I acted in one way. And after some reflection, I should have acted another way. Case in point, that price raise I talked about just a few seconds ago. Things like saying, things that bothered me in my business were like when I had to say no to a client, when I compromised my prices, or I promised retouching work that would take me hours, but I didn't charge them for it. All of these things made me feel guilt because I actually acted on them. I did them. But in hindsight, almost every single time I went through this scenario, I ended up kicking myself because I spent way too much time on something, or I did something that it just didn't feel right in my business. I knew it felt wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it at that time because I just didn't have the experience. So I had the shame before I took the action. And like, say a client would ask me for a retouching request, I felt shame of what might happen. And I had those bad feelings for the perception of what could happen. And then when I did it, I had the guilt for doing it because I knew I shouldn't have done it. So I hit myself, you know, walking in and walking out of a lot of situations. And if we want to be truly free of guilt and shame in our business, really the bottom line is you need to gain the confidence to run your business. So I'm going to repeat that. If you truly want to be free of guilt and shame in your business, you need to have the confidence to run your business like a business. You need to run your business without apology, make decisions, because we know what's in the best interest of your business for the most part. If you're new, you may not know some of these things. If you haven't invested in one-on-one coaching, if you haven't sat down with something to run through some of these decisions that you're making in your business, especially when you're new, then you might make some mistakes. But for the most part, you know where you want to go with your business. It's just a matter of trusting your gut and having the confidence to make the decisions needed and owning your choices. So if something doesn't work out, it's nothing to beat yourself up over. It's just like, okay, I need to fix it. And that's where I am in my business now. It's like, I don't beat myself up so much over the decisions I may or may not make, or the perception of things that could happen, the mites, if you will. But if something goes wrong, I fix it very quickly. And it's been a lifelong journey. Because the way these decisions are made is that we have lots of decisions to make. And what happens as we grow, we still have lots of decisions to make. The decision-making process never goes away. But making those decisions gets a little bit easier. And I used to struggle for days making decisions in my business from, you know, the early, early days of the fonts, the branding colors, what lens to use, what camera I should get. Sometimes those decisions would paralyze me for weeks. But as time has marched on, I've grown to realize that most decisions really aren't that deep, as my teenage daughter would say, like, Mom, ugh, really, it's not that deep. Don't worry about it so much. And that's what I kind of figure with a lot of decisions we need to make in our business. Some things are big deals, but other ones, not so much. And just as a side note, this isn't a decision-making podcast, but if you struggle with making decisions in your business, I want you to head over to episode number 17 of the podcast. That's way back almost 80 episodes ago, but it's still listed with Apple Podcasts and everything. And we're going to link to that recording in our show notes page for this. But number 17 of the podcast was with my guest, Heather Lahtinen, and she walked us through a really great framework on how to make decisions. And if you missed that episode and you struggle with decision-making, it's a really, really good one. So don't miss that one. Definitely check that out. The thing is that we allow shame to paralyze us in business all the time. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, or if you're a Hannah Waddington fan, you know the scene in Game of Thrones, I think it was in the last season where Cersei is walking down the steps and the lady standing behind her is just yelling, shame, shame, shame. And all the people are throwing all the horrible things on her as the queen, as part of her punishment. It's a very graphic scene. So, you know, don't watch it if your kids are in the room, but it gets the point across. We allow shame to paralyze us all the time. It's a very, very powerful, powerful emotion. And at some point in your entrepreneurial journey, you realize that you can't just let the mere thought of things or the mites stop you from doing the things that you need to grow. You need to move past these. And it's true in life and in business. And women especially, we deal with the guilt and shame in so many areas, and it's so much more powerful for us. In numerous studies that have been published on this topic, men and women handle this very, very different. Men blame outside sources for things. So they don't feel the guilt if they get a bad grade on a test because maybe the room was too hot or the pen was something or they wore an itchy sweater that day. They blame an external source. You know, maybe when it comes to shame, they thought about changing the oil, but they didn't because they might have had to work later. They had to go meet a friend or, you know, something like that. They have excuses, and it's always, not everyone is running their life on excuses. I don't want it to seem that way, but they externalize things like this. It's something else's fault if something didn't happen or the thought of something didn't result in an action. But for me and women, like if we get a bad grade, for example, in school, it's because we didn't study hard enough. If I don't change the oil, which I never would, but if I don't change the oil, it's because I didn't manage my time well enough. If I'm late for something, it's not the traffic's fault. It's because it was something on me. It's something with my fault. We internalize those results. And it's just a very interesting difference between men and women that I thought was really applicable. I see it in everyday life when I'm dealing with lots of people out in business of where people will put the responsibility when things do or don't happen the way that they should. Something to think about. So this is a really, really complicated thing. And understanding the differences between guilt and shame has helped me in my business journey. I've discovered that it's not all bad. Sometimes a little of those emotions creeping in can help move me to take action in certain areas. But what gets me into trouble is that I will start to dwell, or the technical term on this is ruminate. I might ruminate on things to a point where I just can't let them go. So I could be at a point in my business where even the smallest decisions take me an incredible amount of time to make. And if that's you, you need to go back and listen to podcast number 17. But then there's this other thing too, is that once you make a decision, you ruminate it on for days, you question it, you go back and you check your research. You, like, say you bought something and you check it constantly, constantly, constantly to see if it got on sale or you could get it better someplace else, just to make sure to confirm that the decision that you made is right. So thinking and rethinking about things over and over until you finally come to peace with it is not the best thing. You should be able to make your decisions and move on and start spending your time thinking about other things, but constantly, constantly rehashing these things in your brain isn't healthy for anyone. Or sometimes what happens is that you will feel guilty, so guilty about, say, raising your prices, that you actually backtrack it and you lower your prices back down or you change your decision back. Now, that's okay to do, but you shouldn't do it based on guilt. You should do it because it's the right thing for your business. So like I said, all of these are complicated. Dealing with emotions in our business is something that's so huge, and I could really, really talk about this all day. And it's something that if I were a betting person, which I'm not, but if I were a betting person, I would bet that a lot of people need to start recognizing these things in their business as well and realizing how they impact what they do and taking steps to change those things. Changing the idea that you can control the emotion of shame and guilt, it's absolutely in your control, is something it's hard to get your head around it because these emotions come from how we were raised, how we believe in certain things, and changing those things can be fairly difficult, but that doesn't mean it can't be done. And if you need help with this, is this something that you struggle with in your business of how to move forward, how to stop overthinking, how to make decisions in a healthy way for your business and get it to where you want it to go? I would love to help you. Please reach out on Instagram at @TheDoriHowell. Send me an email through my contact page on the website, harmonyhangout.com. And I would love to talk to you about how we can help you in your decision-making process and also releasing these feelings of guilt and shame that are possibly holding you back. So thank you so much for listening to the Focal Points podcast brought to you by Enphoto. We are so thankful for their support of this project. Now, I have a little bit of an ask for you. If you're a listener of this podcast and you've never left us a review on Apple or Spotify, I would love it so much if you would write a review on those platforms. I have very few reviews. In fact, I think I only really have 3 at this time, but a lot more than 3 people listen to this podcast. And if you could go write a review, I would be so, so thankful. And then also, if you're out in the interwebs and you're out in the social world and you want to follow EnPhoto, the Dori Howell, and Focal Points podcast on Instagram or Facebook, we would love that too. We would love staying connected with our audience, and we are so very appreciative that you spend a little bit of your time every week with us. Thank you so much. To get the show notes for this episode, hit focalpointspodcast.com, and we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an EnPhoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.